Turning this morning to the Word of God, to the book of Proverbs, please. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. And for the sake of time, we'll just read from verse number 20. Proverbs chapter 4 and the verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Amen. It's the words of verse number 23 that we want to consider for the rest of our meeting this morning, the moments that do remain with us. Verse 23, it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Before we come to the preaching of the Word of God for this morning, can we just seek the Lord's help again in a word of prayer? Eternal God and our Father, as we come now to thy precious word, we pray, Lord, that you'll write the pages of truth upon our hearts. We ask, O God, that we will learn instruction. Lord, that we will heed instruction this day. O God, we pray that as we look into thy precious word, that there will be that word to every heart. Speak to us and speak through us. Give us help in the preaching. Give us help in the hearing, O God, we ask. And Lord, through it all, may thy name be glorified and magnified. Answer prayer. We pray this in thy name and for thy glory alone. Amen. Amen. The human heart is one of the most vital organs in our body. The heart is responsible for pumping the blood around the body. And as the blood contains the oxygen that keeps our bodies going, it also takes away the waste from the cells within our body. It is essential, therefore, that the blood supply be maintained. If the heart is damaged, then the blood supply will be hindered, and therefore the body will not be able to function properly as it should. This is why we are given so many warnings today to protect our hearts, look after our hearts from any form of disease. We're told to have a balanced diet. We're told to have plenty of exercise. We're told to keep stress levels and all that to a minimum, because all of those things, we're told, will contribute to a healthy heart. But for today, we're not concerned so much with the physical heart, but with the spiritual. Because in verse number 23, Solomon, the wise man, issues a warning here about the heart. Now, while the physical heart is important, and so it is, so much so is the spiritual heart in the child of God. The heart, as we shall see, is the foundation of all that we believe and all that we do. And because of all of this, it is vital, therefore, that we maintain and that we protect our hearts. Solomon was well qualified, I believe, to speak about the dangers of allowing the heart to wander. Over in 1 Kings chapter 11, God issues a warning to Solomon. A warning to him about the love that he had for the wrong people. In 1 Kings chapter 11 and the verse 1, we are told that he loved many strange women, and God tells him to stay away from them. Why? Because they will turn your heart away from God. But Solomon, sad to say, failed to heed that warning. He thought he knew better. And it is recorded for us in 1 Kings chapter 11. That his wives turned away his heart after other gods. He failed to protect and to guard his heart as he should. And as a result, his heart was turned away from God. And with the experience of Solomon, and with many other such accounts given to us in Scripture, God comes here, and of course remember that ultimately this is a word from God in Proverbs 4:23. This is God issuing a warning to us, to every child of God today, about our hearts, our spiritual hearts. You see, the heart is the seat of all affections. The heart sets the tone for the life. Because what is inward will then ultimately be manifested outward. So there is this warning given about our hearts here in verse 23. As we consider this heart warning, I want us to consider some very simple thoughts as we see them here in verse 23. First of all, I want you to notice with me here the responsibility that must be undertaken. The responsibility that must be undertaken. The opening words of verse 23, keep thy heart. There is the responsibility that every believer has to keep our hearts. In the original, that word keep there, it means to guard, it means to protect. It means to put a defense around your heart. It means to guard your heart, to guard something as if it is so precious and so vital. And we must be that, like that with our hearts. We are to be the custodians and the protectors of our heart, to keep it. First of all, we are to keep our hearts from sin. The devil is certainly very busy today, always has been in the life of the child of God. We were thinking of that on Thursday night past in our studies in the Lord's Prayer, in the prayer meeting. The devil will seek to bring us down. The devil will seek to bring sin into our life and let that old nature within us rear its head again and again. The devil today is not some tame person that people will portray him as. The devil is certainly that roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour. That's why we are to put a guard on our hearts, Christian. That's why I am to put a guard on my heart. That's why I am to protect my heart. Because the devil is seeking to destroy us and destroy our testimony and to bring sin into our hearts and lives. Those things that we read, those books that we pick up, those magazines that we look at, those things that we watch, that music that we listen to, those friends that we are keeping, we are to be careful and to give careful attention to those things. Because often the devil will use other outside people or things in order to bring us away from God. We are not to fill our hearts and minds with the dirt and the filth of sin. Paul, writing to young Timothy, in 1 Timothy 5:22, he exhorts Timothy. He says, keep thyself pure. Keep thyself pure. And again, the original word there, keep, it means to guard. It means to protect. And Christian, today we live in a world which is impure. We live today and there is so much impurity all around us. But the child of God, we are to keep ourselves, we are to keep our hearts pure from sin. There are so many things in this world that will bring us down. So many things which, yes, are legitimate and proper and right in their own situations. But when they come in and when they crowd out God and they take the place that the Lord should have in our lives, then they become a sin. We are, as we are told in 1 Thessalonians 5:22, to abstain from all appearance of evil. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And if there's a doubt in your mind as to whether this is something we should be doing or not, or a doubt in our mind as to whether we should be taking part in this or not, then I always believe we should give God the benefit of the doubt and abstain from it. So many of God's people, they've played with sin. And they thought it was harmless. But today sin has wrecked their life. Sin has ruined their testimony. That which they thought was harmless, they soon realized destroyed them. They failed to keep their hearts from sin. If Solomon had kept his heart from sin, then he would not have had the admonition of the Lord when he was told by the Lord that his heart has been turned away from God. Don't let the devil ruin your life. Rather, guard your life, guard your heart. Protect what you see, protect what you watch, protect what you listen to. Because the devil will use every sense in your body, your sight, your speech, your hearing, in order to bring you down. Therefore, keep your heart from sin. Holiness unto God is to be our watchword. And I know that today holiness seems a strange word in the vocabulary of the Christian church. When we talk about holiness, it's as if we're talking about some sort of strange thing. Something that really doesn't apply today to the life of the child of God. Well, we are commanded in the Scriptures of truth, be ye holy. Why? For I am holy. It's not just a command for a past generation. It's a command for every generation of the child of the Christian church. Be ye holy. Young person, older person, we are to live holy lives before God. It's not an optional extra. It's something we are commanded to do. We are to keep our hearts. That's our responsibility. Not only keep our hearts from sin, but we are also to keep our hearts from slothfulness. You see, if the devil cannot attack us directly, and he will try to use other things to bring us down. Oh, know what it is to be tired. Know what it is to be busy in our own spheres of influence. And the last thing we want to do is to get alone with God, get into the Scriptures of truth and spend that time alone with Him. And we become then slothful in the things of God. And then that becomes a norm. And we fail to protect our hearts. Way over in Proverbs chapter 24, turn with me there for a moment, please. Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24 and the verse 30, and there's a warning here against slothfulness. Proverbs chapter 24 and the verse 30, we read there, I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding, and lo, it was grown over with thorns and nettles, and covered their face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Here was, I believe, someone who had in previous times been busy, been active. But now they become slothful. The vineyard, which was so once well dressed and well looked after, was now laying in waste. It was grown over with thorns and nettles and covered the face thereof. The picture here that he paints, and he is painting a word picture, a very vivid word picture here, is, I believe, a picture of decay and ruin, one who has fallen asleep and at his watch in his living for God. Now notice the instruction that he received from it in verse number 32. That was not how he was to live his life. Is there someone here today? And your service for the Lord in past days was commendable. You were faithful. Anything that there was to be done in the church, you were doing it. Any activity that you could be involved in, you were involved in it. But sad to say, that's not the case now. And you have allowed other things to become important in your life. We fail to keep our hearts failed in our responsibilities before God, and the defenses now are broken down. Well, we need to rebuild those defenses again in our hearts. We need to get back to the place where we once were with God. We need to get back and acknowledge our sin and our recklessness and our living for Christ, and we need to live our lives wholly before the Lord. We have a responsibility to guard our hearts. Is that what we are seeking to do? Every day, by the help of the Spirit of God, are we seeking to guard our hearts? Are we seeking to keep our hearts? It's not enough just to keep our hearts for a little time, as we shall see, and then forget about it. Every day. All the time we need to be on our guard, because all the time the devil is out to bring us down. Keep thy heart. That's the responsibility that must be undertaken. But notice further here in verse number 23, the resolve that must be underlined. Verse 23 goes on, keep thy heart with all diligence. That's the resolve that must be underlined. How are we to keep our hearts? We are to keep our hearts with all diligence. If you have a margin in your Bible, you'll see that that little term, with all diligence, can also mean above all other keeping. Whatever other things we have to keep, whatever other things we have to guard and protect, we must first and foremost keep our hearts. That's the resolve that must be undertaken. Whatever other things come important in our lives, this is where it must start. As we consider this resolve, notice that we must be determined. We must be determined in this resolve. Solomon, I believe, emphasizes that to us in the verse. Because the thought of the word diligence there, in the original, it speaks of a watchman. In other places, it is translated a watchman or a prison guard. And I'm sure we're all familiar with the idea of a watchman. The walls of the ancient cities, they were protected by huge walls. And on those walls, there were watchmen set. And they were there to protect the city and to keep the city from the onslaught of the enemy. The watchman was never to leave his post. The watchman was never to wander away from the post of duty. He was to show determination. He was to be diligent in the task that he was called to do. Because if he had failed in that task, if he had given up on that task, then the enemy would come in, the city would be invaded, and the city would be captured and handed over to the enemy. It's also translated as a prison guard. Again, the idea of being attentive, being determined. The prisoners would seek every opportunity to distract the guard and try to escape, but the guard was to be determined. He was to fortify his watch with diligence and determination. What an illustration there, even in that little word, diligence, how we are to keep our hearts. We must be determined in the keeping of our hearts, in this responsibility. We must not be found wanting. Otherwise, the enemy will come in, the devil will come in, and those defenses which are broken down, he will so easily use. Sin will come in, sin will destroy our lives. We can't think that we'll guard our hearts for today and then that's it for another time. It's not just doing it for a period of time, giving up and back again. No, it's something that we need to do constantly. Something that we need to give total determination to. We're determined, I suppose, in many different aspects of life. In your job, in your business, in home, it's always good to show determination, to do the best that you can. And how much more when we come to the things of God and the matter of keeping our hearts from sin, how much we need to show determination. Not only do we need to show determination in this resolve, but we also need to show discipline. If we are resolved to keep our hearts as we must do, then we need to be disciplined in that action. We need to discipline our lives so that we do not overlook the important matters of our heart. We must discipline our lives to get alone with God, whatever time is most suitable for you to get alone with Him. We must discipline our lives to do what we can in the service of the Lord. The words of Matthew 6:33 keep coming back time and time again to my heart. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things shall be added unto you. And isn't it so easy? And I speak here from experience, it's so easy to put all those other things first. So easy to try to arrange and try to organize all those other things and fail to seek first the kingdom of God. But when we seek Him first, we put Him first, and we are disciplined in our resolve to keep our hearts, then all these other things shall be added on to us. Them that honor me, the Lord says, I will honor. In this matter of resolve, we need to be determined. We need to be disciplined. There is the resolve that must be undertaken. Keep thy heart. The responsibility and then the resolve with all diligence. But finally, as we close, notice the reason here that must be understood. Look at the end of verse 23. It says, for out of it, that is the heart, are all the issues of life. Out of it are the issues of life. There is the reason that must be understood. Why is this warning given to us here in this verse? Why is the Holy Spirit so directing Solomon to write these words about our hearts? About our spiritual hearts, about the need to keep our hearts, about the responsibility, about the resolve. Why? Because out of the heart are all the issues of life. The heart is the basis of life. Just as in the physical realm, so too in the spiritual. Mr. Spurgeon, he compared the heart to a great reservoir of water. And it's from that reservoir of water, of course, where all the rest of the supply of water is distributed to the different areas. And you see, if there is a contamination in that reservoir, that big body of water, then that contamination will ultimately flow down into the tributaries and it'll contaminate all the rest of the water. If the source is polluted, then so too will the rest of the parts of those tributaries be polluted as well. But if the source is pure, then the rest will be pure as well. And if our hearts are pure and kept by God's help from sin, then so too will be the rest of our beings. Because the heart is the reservoir. The heart is the fountainhead. The heart is the source of our spiritual life. Out of the heart flows every aspect of life. Let me illustrate what I mean to you. The heart determines our speech. You see, someone has said that the lip is the index of the heart. The lip is the index of the heart. Matthew, writing in his gospel in Matthew 12 and 34, he said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. The heart determines our speech. On over in Matthew 15 and the verse 18, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart. If the heart has been guarded from sin as it ought, if the heart has been kept as holy and as pure as it ought, then that will be reflected in our speech. You see, the filthy talk and the smut and the dirt of this world ought never to be the speech of the child of God. I believe that with all my heart. The language of the world is not to be the language of the child of God. And when our hearts are kept as they should be, then when we speak, our hearts will reflect the purity of what is in. The heart determines our speech. But as well as that, the heart determines our steps. You see, if our heart is right before God, then our behavior, our lives will reflect that. By the places we go to. But more importantly, by the places we don't go to. If we are keeping our hearts as we ought, there will be a love for the things of God. There will be a love for the house of God. There will be a love for the people of God. There will be a love for the place of prayer. Likewise, there will be no love for the places of worldly entertainment. If we're keeping our hearts as we should and our hearts determining our steps, there will be no desire to be found in those places which do not bring glory and honor to God. In Proverbs 16 and the verse 9, we read, a man's heart deviseth his way. A man's heart deviseth his way. In other words, our heart determines our steps. And if our heart is out of step with God, then our steps will be out of place. We'll be found in the wrong places. A heart out of tune with God will always be reflected in our behavior and in our actions. The places of this world, the places where this world finds their entertainment, are not to be the places of the child of God. Oh, that doesn't mean that there are things that we're not supposed to go to. Of course there are. But whenever Christians feel at ease in nightclubs and pop concerts and all the rest of it, there's something wrong. Something wrong. Those places do not bring glory to God. Those places do not bring honor to our Lord. Our heart determines our speech. Our heart determines our steps. See how important it is today. We've only briefly glanced at this subject. You see how important it is to keep our hearts, to guard our hearts. How important it is, as we read there in verse number 20, Proverbs 4, to attend to the words to incline our ears unto his sayings. Verse 21, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. Keep God's word in our heart. Keep God's purity, God's holiness in our heart. Why? For out of it are the issues of life. And when the heart is right with God, it'll be reflected. Maybe you're here today and you're still in your sin. And as yet you do not know Christ as your Savior, and your heart is far from him. Your heart's not right with him. You have a heart problem. And that problem is sin. That problem needs to be dealt with as well, and that can be dealt with by the blood of Christ. When you ask for his forgiveness, and you ask for him to do that work in your heart to save you, if that's the situation in your life today, then you need your heart dealt with. If you're here today without Jesus Christ, then there's a heart warning to you as well. You need to forsake your sin and you need to come to Christ. You need to be saved. You need to have a new heart. And that's what he will do if you give your heart and life over to him. But for every child of God, for those who profess the name of Jesus Christ, if ever there was a day and a generation when we needed to keep our hearts, it's this day. If ever there was a day when there needs to be that clear demarcation between the Christian and the world, it needs to be this day. Keep thy heart. Keep it with all diligence. Because out of it are the issues of life. And when our hearts are right with God as they ought to be and as they should be, then all other things in our lives will be right. Maybe today you have allowed your heart to wander. You have allowed your heart to grow cold in the things of God. And today you, if you're honest with yourself, you realize that you're not right with him, you're not walking with him as you once were. Well then today, come back to him. Come back today. Come back now. Acknowledge your sin, your faults, and your failures before him. And determine by God's grace and by his help that you from this day forward are going to keep your heart and keep it unto him. And keep it only for him. Keep thy heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. May God bless his word to our hearts. Let's bow in prayer. Father in heaven, we ask, O God, that as the warning of Scripture has been given today, we pray, O God, that we'll not only hear what God would have to say to us, but, O God, we pray that you'll help us to put thy word into practice in our hearts and lives. We pray, O God, that you'll forgive us of our coldness and our barrenness. Forgive us, O God, for those times when we have failed to keep our hearts as we should. Help us, O God, to resolve from this day forward that we're going to keep our hearts with all diligence. Heavenly Father, we pray for any who may be here without Christ. O God, we pray that this day you'll give them that new heart. Lord, that this day that you'll cleanse them in the precious blood. Lord, that this day they'll be wonderfully saved. Oh God, we pray that you'll bless every saint and sinner alike, we pray in this meeting. We ask, oh God, that you'll keep us pure and unspotted from the things of this world. Keep us close to thee. Keep us, oh God, holy unto thee. Bless our hearts, bless our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. The hymn number 400.